Just first of all, Naomi, things you said a year ago and got you denounced as a conspiracy theorist are now actually being accepted by governments. Do you think things are going your way, as it were?
Well, it's sad that it takes a year for the rest of the world to catch up with what used to be called journalism, right? I'm not a contrarian. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a journalist. And I did a year ago exactly what I've done for 35 years, which until 2020 led me to be a darling of the,
the
established media. But in 2020 and into 2021, when I was reporting accurately on women's health problems that women were reporting subsequent to the mRNA COVID-19 injection, specifically menstrual problems, I was denounced and smeared, a global smear campaign, actually. It was pretty scary. And I was called all kinds of names. And indeed, as you point out, in the last month, NIH, Washington Post, CNN, all of them are confirming that, in fact, millions of women have been harmed in terms of their menstrual health by these mRNA injections. So that's pretty sad. But I'd rather women had the information and could protect themselves going forward. And what happened to me is insignificant compared with that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because, you know, the thing about these vaccines is they cause almost every conceivable kind of damage. You've been talking about women. They also do terrible things to healthy young men. But let's just stick with the women's thing, because you've been a famous feminist in the Western world for quite a while. These things, as you say, they affect women's menstrual cycles. They're finding the mRNA showing up in breast milk of feeding mothers. There's disturbing trends in fertility. I've just looked at the numbers from Switzerland and Germany and various other continental countries, but I take it it's pretty similar here and in the US. Why is it that feminists aren't interested in what seems to be an obvious women's health issue?
Yeah, I mean, feminists, look, you just had a couple of segments showing that in Britain, as in the United States, civil society has been wholly co-opted by bad actors trying to destroy British civil society, trying to destroy U.S. civil society. My book argues that this is a script. It's been enacted all over the world, especially aimed at the West. So unsurprisingly, the people who used to be feminists, you know, the Boston Women's Health Collective, the National Organization of Women, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the doulas, all the people who are supposed to stand up for women's health, were silent. They, you know, all these civil society institutions and the media took the money, whether it was Bill and Melinda Gates money, which went to entities like the BBC, which is why the BBC has attacked me and you know, now you, or whether it's $1 billion from the CARES Act in the United States that went to trusted messengers to co-opt them to overcome vaccine hesitancy. And I found out very frighteningly that it wasn't just the CDC that was colluding with Twitter. This was revealed through an America First legal lawsuit a couple of weeks ago to silence me and other people, but in my case, with this accurate tweet about women's menses being harmed, but also a more recent action by the attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana have found that the White House was involved.
Yes, so at the highest
levels, there's silencing going on, and it's very parallel to what you showed with this vicar's wife in Britain. At the highest levels, people are being instructed to silence, suppress, coerce, bully the truth about particular issue.
What's amazing to me is the effect it's had actually on the medical community. I mean, even before you get to this crazy law in California where you can get struck off if you actually have an alternative view to the official version. I mean, I don't know what that's going to do for the standards of medicine. It reminds me, I don't want to exaggerate, but it does remind me of Stalinist Russia, where every time Stalin had a mild ailment, he had to get a all the doctors had to be ideological, which meant they were crap.
Right.
And so he had to get some non-ideological doctor if he had anything wrong with him. I mean, we're moving into a situation like that, aren't we?
I think we're there. I mean, Mark, I'm Jewish. And, you know, I can say this. I don't think you're going too far. I think you're going exactly where you should go. It was the doctors in pre-Nazi Germany in the early 30s who were co-opted by the National Socialists and sent to do exactly what we're seeing kind of replaying now. It was the medical organizations in the early 30s who were emboldened to be the arbiters of, you know, life worthy of life, life unworthy of life, and to kind of medicalize and pathologize dissent or difference. So we're seeing a wholesale purchasing of the medical establishment in the United States, in Britain, and in countries around the world to do things much more serious. But let me just give one example. You brought this up, and you're so right. I have 3,500 experts at the War Room Daily Cloud, Pfizer Documents Research volunteer effort, medical experts, scientific experts going through the Pfizer documents. Yeah. And indeed, they're finding horrific harms against human reproduction. 360-degree harms. Who should be stepping up to announce this? The AMA? Who's announcing it? It's people like you and me, the last remaining independent journalists. But this is a scandal that the human race has never seen before of such magnitude.
Well, we've talked about it from a woman's point of view. There's also evidence that it's affecting male sperm counts.
Yes.
What I find odd, we had a lady on, Vicky Spitt, who was widowed in her 30s. She lost her husband to the AstraZeneca vaccine, and they held a coroner's inquest. And all the doctors and nurses called to testify said that they didn't know anything about side effects. The only thing they knew about side effects was not from the hospital, not from the medical establishment, but was from just Googling around when they opened up their laptops.
Shocking. Yeah, I know exactly how this silencing is being enforced. Doctors and nurses are coming to us saying that if they even give their patients informed consent, meaning any hint of the massive risks attached now, confirmed with these mRNA injections, they get letters saying they'll be delicensed, and some of them are being delicensed. But, you know, you mentioned the suppression of sperm count. That's absolutely correct. And the journal Andrology reported that. But we, our team has broken stories even more horrific than that. For instance, Amy Kelly, our team project director, did a report based on the Pfizer documents showing that little boys and baby boys, their Leydig cells and Sertoli cells are damaged by the mRNA injections. That's the factory of masculinity. That's the factory of the hormones that turn boys into men.
Yep.
So this is why I'm not ashamed to say it at this point. I've got so much evidence. This is why I believe these are bioweapons, because they are literally sterilizing people. They're poisoning breast milk. There's not just mRNA in breast milk. There's there's polyethylene glycol now in vaccinated mom's breast milk. They're damaging the placentas of women so that they can't, so that we're seeing chromosomal abnormalities, and they're negatively, if they're emasculating men, essentially.
Well, isn't it funny to be living in a country where this sort of thing happens?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't as bad as this in the wartime, let alone.
You remember that, do you?
I do, yes, I was there. I was only young, mind, but...
And there was
never been on a demonstration before, so I just
haven't
know.
You?
No, never in all my life.
I'm absolutely fed up with the lies this government is telling, and the fact that this is becoming a Nazi state, and the government is destroying this country, and it's destroying businesses. And it is bringing the country to its knees for Agenda 21, 22, 21, 30, and for the World Economic Forum. And these people cannot see what's happening. It's going to affect them as well.
You're protesting in the middle of a lockdown. You shouldn't be doing that.
No, it's illegal. The whole lockdown's illegal. The figures were absolutely... They weren't true. And they've admitted the figures weren't true. They talked about 4,000 deaths, never in this life. They're using a communist behavioural therapist to actually control everybody.
Who's that?
Susan Michi. Communist card-carrying
Where do you think this is all heading?
I think it's going to head for the government being arrested. And I hope Boris Johnson is arrested for treason, and anybody else, Chris Whitty, the lot, should be arrested for treason.
I've actually put a letter in the Strike News and Journal about that. The Nazi regime started very benign. The communist system in Germany, the same. And then, you know, hostile environment, yeah, was one. Slogans everywhere, fear. And then you have the people, and then you can do the next thing, and the next thing. That's why I think this is the beginning. The imposition on our freedom, on our civil rights.
But they will say, won't they, that they're actually trying to protect us from what is a potentially deadly virus.
Yes, well, is that really so? Is that really a deadly virus in the sense that it is any worse than other epidemics that we have had? That's a big question. The WHO has declared before the first lockdown that this is not a pandemic. Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but we have plenty of viruses about, don't we? All the time.
Okay, so where's all this heading, do you think?
Good question. And my feeling is that it is heading towards a dictatorship, tyranny, of a medical kind that we've not had before in the world, a medical dictatorship. You see, that you're not allowed to do certain things because you are a danger to others, a perceived danger to others, because you might carry a virus.
Much of the mainstream press is just telling us all the time, you must obey the government is right.
Well, you would be able to answer that more because you have researched that. I mean, the World Economic, what is it called?
World Economic Forum. They've got a lot of material out there.
On the website, yeah. On their website.
And the Rockefeller Foundation Sustainable Development Plan actually describes in quite some detail about
exactly
what their hope and plan is. So it's a little bit more than just a theory. Maybe it's a conspiracy, but it's more than a theory.
Okay, so what are they planning, in a nutshell?
To have control and full surveillance over the population of the world, and to introduce what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which involves the Internet of Things. It involves a lot more artificial intelligence, and then such things as developing the smart city and therefore also rewilding of the countryside. So it's quite a fundamental change, so that everybody will be nicely in their places and obedient.
We're basically in the countryside in Stroud.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's certainly the case. There's quite a movement for rewilding, which on one level is perfectly fine, and it's very necessary to have natural habitats. But when it comes to exclude human beings in it, that is then something else. We need to have a farming system, for instance, that really includes nature, and you work with nature. Because if you have half of the countryside rewilded, that means that a certain amount is going to be very intensively farmed to feed the population. And that's what we need to get away from. We need to integrate human beings in the landscape, sort of organically, without using all these toxins which are destroying wildlife and destroying nature, so that we can then have healthy food being produced in harmony with nature.
Well, that sounds like a much better world. What's the chance of that happening, do you think?
Well, I have to somehow believe that we will get that the good will prevail. Otherwise, I would give up now. You know? But basically, I think the issue is our freedom. And by freedom, I don't mean just doing what I want to do, but really living in harmony with other human beings and with nature. And to have freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of interaction with whoever I want to interact, without fear.
What do you think about what you've seen here today, though?
Well, I was encouraged that a little town like Stroud had such a good turnout. I was encouraged about that. I was very taken aback by what happened later on, that people were arrested for something that I couldn't see why, for speaking up, for, you know, speaking what is important to them. And that has triggered something in me in terms of what I know from Germany. You know, I mean, obviously I wasn't around in the Nazi time, but that was my parents' generation. But I witnessed the DDR system, the communist system, as a visitor, because all our relatives lived in the DDR. And as a child, we visited them every summer holidays.
That's East Germany, old East Germany, before the wall came down.
That's right, yeah. And I remember my grandmother coming into the garden and saying, be careful what you say, the neighbors might overhear this. You know, that kind of thing. I remember the soldiers with machine guns when we crossed the border. We were searched for 4 hours often in the heat. And this is what I remember. And so, you know, something like this that's happening, of course, brings back those memories as well. You know, the pain it caused in our family, that most of our family lived in the DDR and we couldn't be with them and they were not allowed to visit us.
We've got a similar thing going on in our care homes, haven't we, with elderly relatives?
Absolutely. And to me, that's criminal. You know, I have a friend whose husband has Parkinson's, is in a care home. She's been able to see him twice, not allowed to touch him, not allowed to be with him on her own. We are talking about a married couple. There's always a member of staff present. She has to be wrapped in plastic and sanitized, but even then she's not allowed to touch him. What is that? What is that? Is that human? You know, I know them both personally since many years, and they are a very loving, close couple who cannot be together now.
Okay, so that's my little vox pop from Stroud last Saturday from the protest, the vox pop that the BBC didn't seem to want to do. What about this whole business of care homes? Because she finishes talking about that, Delia. You know, this is something which is very strange. We've never had this sort of thing before, where you're not allowed, for example, to touch your loved ones.
Well, on one of the...
Or even to see them, actually.
Yes, on one of the protests that I went to in London, I ended up chatting to an end-of-life nurse who'd actually left her job because of the horrific things that she'd seen in the care home. And she told me that during the height, in inverted commas, of the pandemic, because doctors weren't allowed to go into the care homes or they didn't go in, there was unqualified people giving reasons for death on the death certificates, and COVID-19 was put down. When there was no evidence, there wasn't even a test in those days as well. And also later on, she was saying there was things she couldn't talk about because she was too emotional, obviously. But she was saying later on, when the test was available, she was taking the test on Monday, but there was no results till Wednesday. But during that time, she was still allowed to work and mix with the people in the care home. And she was saying that it was inhumane that the families weren't allowed to come and see their relatives. And if they were, they had to wear masks and stand behind a plastic screen. And she just found it too distressing to see these poor people who were suffering dementia anyway, confused, not being able to see their families. And she just had to leave because it was too heartbreaking for her. So what's happening at the moment, what has been happening is it's basically genocide, getting rid of old people. It's inhumane and it is absolutely disgusting.
You're killing people not just by not giving them medical care, but by depriving them of seeing
human contact,
but particularly depriving them of seeing their loved ones during very difficult times for many, many months.
So, for example, elderly people and people with dementia, actually seeing somebody from their family can be the only thing that's keeping them going at all.
And this is intentional. I believe this is intentional because the thinking heads who come up with diabolical impositions on us and restrictions know that human contact is probably the most important thing for us.